Sup, Thrill Seekers? I'm Dev.
And I'm Connor, and you're listening to Mass Hysteria.
And on Wednesdays, we listen
to the Mass Hysteria podcast.
Amen, brother.
But we're day late. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink.
Love us anyway.
Day late, but not a dollar short.
$2 ahead.
Welcome or welcome back to the Mass Hysteria podcast.
The holiday edition.
The holiday edition. The final episode that covers a case in 2021, because we will be releasing another episode next week, but it will be a Q&A style video, kind of looking at how the year went, because we put out over 50 episodes this year, which
we
is
put out this year.
Wild. Connor really put out this year. So I should have thought of that before I walked into that one. So yeah, we need to do a little like year in summary, I guess. But we have some cool questions to ask you. We might have gotten a prank question sent to our email. Thank you for that. You know who you are. You've made it to the naughty list for Christmas.
You have. You are getting cool.
No one else, please send us, like, please do not send us any prank emails, because Connor and I already have high blood pressure and we don't need to add to it. Thank you.
And our supply of barbiturates is running low.
Okay, so I do have a mass hysteria for this week. So every year during the winter, I get what I so endearingly call an eczema goatee, okay? Mm, get some nice dry skin around my chin. Really hot. So this year, I bought myself a little tube of hydrocortisone.
Hydrocortisone?
I was crossing hydrocortisol with hydrocortisone. Anyway, say it again. Hydrocortisone?
Hydrocortisone.
Hydrocortisone. Okay, there you go. That cream. So I bought that. And I was keeping it in my cabinet to put on when
super dry.
Yeah. And so I took it out.
I'm sorry. I'm just watching her cat lick its butt.
Yeah. The cat's here for Christmas, visiting grandparents. And apparently she thinks it's appropriate to lick herself in public. Oh, just rolled over. She knows
she's trying
she's
to
doing.
Make herself look good for Christmas dinner.
She really likes boys. She watches TV with the boys when they're over. She has a thing for men. Connor's here. Connor was the reason we didn't know she was going to Heat, if you remember that.
I do remember that. She was very attracted.
She was very attracted to Connor when she first went into Heat. She's since been spayed. Okay, but anyway, so
okay,
going back on to that me, note. My horny cat and my hydrocortisone. So I went and like reached in my cabinet to get it, but I wasn't looking at it for it. And I accidentally grabbed Bengay and put all over my face, because I just like dolped it out. And I literally, kid you not, looked like the kid in Home Alone when he's like,
oh my God,
when he puts on the aftershave.
Burned.
Oh my God, it was horrible. And so I was like, you know, this day can't get any worse. No, it could, because apparently for a week I was like, why does my hair feel like straw? Like, this is weird. I had been spraying hairspray instead of, like, leave-in conditioner on my hair for a whole week. So I have this, like, burned-off face and straw hair.
You're really doing great this
week. Yeah, I had a glow-up after I stopped doing both of those things. Wouldn't recommend. Hydrocortisone works great for eczema. Would not
Bengay
recommend
not.
With Bengay. Yeah.
I have heard of people using Bengay for other extracurriculars accidentally, and that sounds miserable as well.
Oh, Jesus. Luckily I got it off, like, before it could really burn a hole through my skin, but it was painful.
Well, especially because your skin was already, like, irritated, so now you just put Bengay on irritated skin.
I literally was looking in the mirror and did the Home Alone face. So I hope everyone is having a less ashy Christmas season than me. Also, if Connor and I pause, it's because Luna keeps reacting to random words that we're saying, and it's kind of funny her expressions. Okay.
Marie looks like she's gonna eat me.
We're sitting in the basement of grandparents' house with two little kitties.
that are feeling a little nervous because this is not their home.
Yeah.
So if you hear weird noises, it's probably me, but could be a cat this time.
Okay. Connor's probably normally passing I don't gas, have an excuse.
Today I do.
So okay, this case I have been looking forward to doing for a couple weeks because it's just wild and has the ability, I think, I really think, to be solved like pretty soon too, if enough people become involved with it. So TikTok, we love TikTok, one of the great platforms that took off in the last year or two, especially during COVID. And while some use it for fun dances or horror dating stories, and don't worry, I acknowledge that both of those have their places.
And they're hysterical.
Others use it as a way to spread awareness for important issues. I feel like I've used it, I don't know how the algorithm works. I'm not even like smart enough to think through that. But I feel like I've gotten videos added to my For You page that end up like how to spot if someone is following you at night, or like how to do this, or
yeah, and some of them are actually kind of cool,
really helpful. One of them was like how to use an EpiPen properly, which I forgot.
And one of them was showing like how to teach kids. Have you seen the one that's like showing kids how to do that like hand signal?
Oh yeah.
Like if they're with someone they don't know, they don't know. Like make a hand signal at you. Like I was like, oh my god, I have to remember this hand signal. Like if I had children, I'd totally teach them.
Exactly. So it can be a very, I know it can be a kind of a way to mindlessly scroll, but it also can be a really great resource.
Says Devin, as she justifies spending 4 hours on it this morning.
It was 3.5. So I was on my For You page, and I actually don't get a lot of true crime TikToks. I usually get more like people telling random stories or babies. I don't have baby fever, so I'm not sure why those are on there. But anyway, I got this video from on my For You page by this woman named Megan LeBron. Okay. She seems like an incredible person. I tried to message her on TikTok, but because we didn't mutually follow each other, you can't message them. And I don't know how to, like, anyway, I probably could have worked a little harder to try to reach out to her, but since I couldn't message her on TikTok, I didn't want to like stalk everything she ever put out.
Well, you were really busy putting Ben Gay on your face.
Yeah, so. I was. But she has an awesome series of videos, and I've watched the majority of them. I'm sure she's put out more since I finished research for this, but her name is Megan LeBron on TikTok. Immediately stop what you're doing, unless you're driving, please don't like crash your car, but stop what you're doing and follow her on TikTok at Megan Megan LeBron LeBron. Okay. She also has a podcast called Surviving Sky, and definitely go listen to that. Like everything from this episode was from her TikTok, and also a huge shout out to this article that I found on Medium by Nikki Young, and we'll link both of those. But like Nikki Young laid out the case really well, and Megan has shared everything about it because it happened to her younger sister. Her younger sister has been missing for over 10 years.
Oh my God.
And Megan, I think, does a really great job of, and I mean, I have never experienced this, thank God, but talking through the PTSD effects of missing a family member, like the mm-hmm. way that she copes and stuff, mm-hmm. which I feel like I hadn't really thought about that or just even heard people talk about what it's been like for them, and just the way that she copes with it.
Well, and it kind of like goes back to what you're talking about TikTok. That is like the cool thing about TikTok is things that it's bringing awareness to a 10-year-old case. Mm-hmm. Like how cool is that? And also, yeah, like it offers a platform for people to share experience and stuff, so it is cool. We're not condoning TikTok. We know there's some, you know, some parents in an uproar about some elementary school things. But to that, I say, why does your elementary school child have a phone?
Yeah.
Make them build some character. I didn't get my first phone until I was 18. I'm not bitter, but I'm bitter.
He does have a lot of character.
maybe not good character, but.
But we didn't qualify it, so.
We didn't qualify it.
But no, she, and yeah, exactly. She's using it like as a cathartic platform, but she's also using it to tell her story about what happened to
her. Which is really cool.
Her sister, which is really awesome. And like I said, we'll leave her podcast link below, Surviving Sky. Go listen to it. And so her sister's name was Skylyn Budnick, and she was 21 years old in 2008. And she seemingly disappeared. And the reason I think I was kind of drawn into learning more about this case is because there are elements of it that seem similar to the Maura Murray case. Because you know, Maura, before she disappeared or was taken or kidnapped, she almost like kind of cleaned up her life a little bit.
Yeah.
Like cleaned up her belongings, and almost there are elements of it that seemed really planned. I think this has a similar feel to it. So I'm not like saying they're the same case at all, but I think because of the ages too, it's like you can kind of
just an interesting comparison.
Yeah, just an interesting comparison. And also there was all the talk about the remains found on Loon Mountain,
which were not hers.
Were not hers.
Which is sad.
That I've seen so far. So Sky Lynn, she was very into Japanese culture, anime. She liked Japanese food, the social norms, manga, like all of that type of stuff. She had like medium length brown hair and big brown eyes, and she was really introverted. At the time of her disappearance, she was a junior in college, and I think one of the great things about college, when you go, is that a lot of times you have the opportunity to study abroad, right? So she had found a program like specifically in Japan that she wanted to go to. And study abroad programs usually have strict requirements for grades. Nothing like crazy. I don't think you have to get straight A's to go, but you have to be in a good standing academically. And Sky was really struggling in her classes at Central Connecticut State University. Megan kind of does this great job of explaining in her TikTok that depression looks different on different people. And I think because Sky, what she was saying is like Sky was so quiet that like she was suffering, but it wasn't as, she wasn't like outwardly, you know, acting out or anything, but she was, and if your grades are slipping, that's one of the first signs of someone really struggling with depression. So luckily in today's day and age, mental health is talked about a lot more. And people don't have to struggle in silence the way that Sky,
It is crazy that even like 2008, it's been in really the last few years that it's become much more acceptable to like talk about.
And not be like, I remember going to therapy in high school and I was like, no one can know that I'm going.
Right.
Like I was like convinced now there's like a tracking device in my car.
Over their wine. Well, my therapist told me.
Which is great. It is People great. Should be talking about their therapy over wine. So she was kind of battling this depression demon, which if you have experienced depression yourself, you know, can be a never-ending or seemingly never-ending struggle. And it's really hard, especially to go through alone.
It's very isolating, especially if you're like a quiet type person anyway, that maybe doesn't share your feelings all the time.
And being in school, like being in school when you're struggling mentally is so hard. So in April 2007, she posted... So I found her Facebook, and Nikki, that I talked about, who wrote the Medium article, talks about Skylin's Facebook because she barely used it. But she has some kind of like just sad posts that almost seem like what are you hinting at? Mm-hmm. And so she has one that I wanted to talk about. She posted it around January of 2007, and it's just like, I think demonstrates that how much she was struggling. So this post is called Symbolic Rain. I hate me. I hate how easy it is to get my hopes up and how it's even easier to send them crashing down into the abyss. Is it strange? One moment I can be fine or even extremely happy, and then some little bad thing happens and all the joy shatters and I want to die or rip myself to shreds. And it goes on for a while. It's like a very well-written post, obviously, but very indicative that she's suffering.
Yeah.
And she kind of is one of those people that sporadically posts on Facebook like every couple months. Mm-hmm. And this was one of the things that she posted. So her Facebook is public. She doesn't have too many friends added as well, which is kind of interesting. So and I think kind of shows that she has a small circle, but she has 30 friends on Facebook. But yeah, she has a couple of posts, and they're hard to read because you know that you can tell that something's has to be going on in her head, and you wish you could give her a hug, you know? Yeah. But so I thought that was interesting because I kind of wanted to understand like who she was as a person. So I read through a bunch of her Facebook posts. Like I said, they're public, but you can definitely tell that she is having a hard time and suffering silently. So her last post to Facebook was at the end of 2007. It was in October, where she basically put out this invite for a picnic to anyone that was interested in going. It says, anyone care to join me on a trip? And she was for a hiker picnic this Saturday. I'm hiding from work and I've run out of random destinations to go and I don't feel like ending up in Massachusetts, which is, I kind of chuckled at that because I was like, yeah, me and you both. But yeah, so she says that there's like a battle of the bands and she wants to hang out with people before she has to go to work. So anyway, that was her last post, October 17th, 2007. She definitely, you can tell that like, she was a teenager in the early 2000s and because she uses things like people like PPL and like because where it's like B/CUZ.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so she has a bunch. You can see her Facebook profile if you're interested in looking at it. But she's seems like a very, very talented writer. And that was her last post.
Was she, do you know what her major was in college?
Oh no, I should have known that. I don't think she was majoring in English, but yeah, she, we'll follow up. We'll connect that dot. Cause that's true. I would be interesting to see what she's majoring in. But she seems like a very talented writer. So that was the last thing that she posted. And we don't know why, but she never applied to the program for study abroad. And they have like a very strict deadline for submission,
and she was planning to do that.
She wanted to do it, and mm-hmm. because she didn't submit her application in time, and maybe it was because she was having a crippling bout of depression, right. You know, we don't know what was going on, but because she missed the deadline, she wasn't accepted, and that I think devastated her a lot from mm-hmm. what Megan said on TikTok and what Nikki wrote about in the Medium article. So study abroad isn't the only way to see a new place. You can also go by yourself with your own itinerary. So without telling a soul, Sky bought a one-way ticket to Japan.
Wow.
So on March 31st, 2008, Sky visited her family. And Megan has a ton of videos, not a ton, but she does have some videos. And she does an episode of the podcast talking about the last time she saw Sky, which would have been March 31st, 2008, the day we're talking about. Where Megan said that there were some things that really seemed off and there was a lot of like finality to how she was speaking.
Right.
So she would say things like, oh, you know, I hope I have one of these again, or I hope I see this again. And her sister, I don't think at the time like clicked it. She's probably like, what's going on? Whatever, you know,
just thought she was being weird or whatever.
Yeah. Like if you did that, I'd be like, okay, Connor needs
No. But like if something else happens, then you like replay those things in your mind.
That's really ominous.
They become like prophetic or ominous, and maybe they were, maybe they weren't. It's hard to know.
And so she apparently really liked her mom's chocolate cream cheese cookie, which sounds really good. I've never
had it. Does sound good.
But she requested them specifically. And then Megan was saying in a TikTok, it was because she probably knew that that was the last time she was going to have them.
Huh.
And so she went to Central Connecticut State University, and because her family, I should have said this, they lived in Connecticut, only about 10, 15 minutes from the university. So Sky was a commuter student. And so she told her family, on March 31st, when they got together, that she was going to spend the next couple of days with her friends at their dorm. And I think her mom and her family was probably like really excited because Sky,
yeah, if she was a little antisocial, like, yeah, maybe that's good. Like, oh, she's going to spend time with friends. That's
exactly
great.
And Megan said on her TikTok is so good. Everyone, please go follow it and watch her videos because I just want to, I want to like give her a hug. She just seems like such a warrior. She's like channeling her, I think, grief and like confusion over what happened to her sister into fitness and then making this like TikTok. So she just seems like a really cool person. But she was saying that Sky, because she had kind of these like niche interests, like mm-hmm. I mean, I went to a high school with over 1,000 people, and I could probably name like three people that I knew that were like really into anime or manga or something. Yeah. So I think because she had this like niche interest, she didn't really have a ton of close friends in high school. And then she got to college and kind of like found her group of.
Yeah, it's easier in college. Way easier. You find more people
and
like
so,
you.
And so Megan said, like, well, that was good. It also meant that these people didn't know her that long because they were newer friends. And so I think her family, when they heard that she was going to go, was probably like, oh, this is awesome. It'll be great for Sky. So she told them, like, she would just be staying at the dorms and then she would see them in a couple days. And also, I think they probably didn't want to be overbearing or invasive because she's 21 years old. Like, she's an adult.
And did they know at this point that she was going to Japan?
No.
They
didn't. No. And so they just thought, like, oh, okay, like, we're not going to, you know, show up at the dorm. We're not going to, like, call her every 5 minutes. Right. She's an adult. Like, we'll see her in a couple days. So she boards her flight to Japan with a one-way ticket, okay, the next day. And the Medium article talks about how this is an odd thing to do, especially for Asia. Like, I have traveled a lot around Asia. I'm not even saying that as, like, a snob. I really have boarded a lot of flights in Asia, and this could be true for other countries too, but I know that they're very strict when they check your ticket to make sure that you also have an onward ticket because they don't want you to stay. I mean, that probably applies to a lot of countries, but I know for Asia specifically.
If you have a one-way ticket, you should have a really good reason for having a one-way ticket. Like, you're getting your green card, you have a work visa, something like that.
And so, and I don't know what it was like, you know, almost 15 years ago, but it just seems strange that she is a, you know, young female showing up with a one-way ticket. And I know when like I traveled a lot to India, and every time I traveled to India, you had to write down the address of where you were staying. Like, every place you were staying, you had to list it out, and you had to have like your reason for staying and explain like who you knew there, like. It just seems strange that, and maybe she just got someone who was looking at her ticket and just was having a long day and was like, okay, just go. Like,
yeah, whatever. Exactly.
But it's just kind of a curious observation. And this, well, the other interesting thing is this is the second time that she had bought a one-way ticket. So she bought one last year, but she never used it.
To Japan as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which must have been expensive. Yeah. But so I think there's a couple of questions that come up. Was she meeting someone there? Like I said, I have not been to Japan, but based on my experiences, they usually make you explain like how your stay is being supported, where you are address-wise in case they need to locate you. And from the limited research I've done, it seems like Japan would have kind of similar expectations for entries. So it is kind of strange if Sky was able to enter, like maybe she made up a story. She did not stop at Tokyo. Like, her flight landed in Tokyo, but she stayed to go on to a next destination in Japan, which is kind of strange because luckily the woman who wrote the Medium article lives in Tokyo, and she was saying that it was strange that Sky wouldn't stop in Tokyo because Tokyo is like, hopefully this is not an offensive observation, but like the Times Square. There's like a bunch of lights. Like, it's like going to New York City versus
when
like
people talk about Japan, going to a random, everyone has heard of Tokyo.
But also just like she was saying, it has everything. It's like the New York City, you know? So she's like, it's strange that she would want to go. She ends up flying up to a remote area, which we'll talk about a little bit. But Tokyo is like the dream place for people that love anime, colorful, flashy Japanese like culture elements. And also most people understand English or like, you know, it's not as it's a country.
Yeah, where in more metropolitan areas, you're more likely to find people that can speak English than if you go somewhere really remote.
And so she goes to Hokkaido, which, according to JapanVisitor.com, Hokkaido makes up 20% of the landmass of Japan, but only 5% of the population lives there.
That's wild.
It's very cold during the winter, so a lot of people, if they do go there for winter sports. But it's 20 plus hours by car from Tokyo. So she flew into Tokyo and then flew up to Hokkaido. And it's not from like what the Media Miracle said and what I've read about that Hokkaido on Google. You're like less likely to find people that are fluent in English. Like, I'm sure they know some English, but they would be speaking Japanese. So from Megan's podcast, she said she kind of like talked about, you know, how long it took for people to realize Sky was missing. She said nobody realized initially that she was missing because she was so introverted. It wasn't uncommon for her to keep to herself. And she also, you know, her parents wanted to give her the space to enjoy the time with her friends, right? So one thing that was interesting, crazy to read about and listen to, Megan talks about it on the first episode of her podcast, and she also has a bunch of videos on it. But on April 1st, Megan was working at the American Red Cross at the time. She was 24. She was Sky's older sister. And she started to not really feel well on April 1st, which was when Sky was getting on the plane. Mm-hmm. And she was like working with a patient, and she actually had to excuse herself and talk to her boss because her head was throbbing and her vision was blurring. Yeah. And she needed to go to the emergency room to see if she had like was having an aneurysm or a stroke or something. And it was ruled to be an atypical migraine. But on TikTok, she said she gets that every year on April 1st.
That is so bizarre. Isn't that
insane? Yeah. So maybe that was a sign that something was wrong. But by April 4th, the family was growing really concerned because nobody had heard from Sky at all. There was no activity on her Facebook. And Sky didn't have a cell phone they could call, which Megan kind of talks about. Like, yeah, it's 2008. It is kind of strange she didn't have a cell phone. But, you know, she didn't have a large group of friends, and she really didn't have an interest in a cell phone. That kind of makes sense. Like, if you don't have a bunch of people you want to talk to on your phone, like, why would you bother having a phone? Like, it's not the age where people were using them to do everything and anything.
Yeah. Smartphones were not as common, so you might have like just like a texting or calling phone, but
so she did not have an interest in having a phone, so she didn't have one. And Sky had an older brother, Sky and Megan, as well. And Megan says in her videos that Sky and her older brother had a lot more in common, and they were kind of closer. They were both really introverted. And luckily, Sky had recently used her brother's desktop, which was in the basement of the family home, to log into her email. So
was it still logged in?
Yeah. Or like her password was saved or whatnot. And so when they kind of started to panic because no one had heard from her, they logged into her email, and they were able to see that she had bought this one-way ticket.
Right.
And they also found like an alarming email that was in her drafts. It was to a woman named Brittany Davis, who was around her age and was like a friend of Sky's. They both loved Japanese culture, but recently they'd argued before Sky had left. And so Nikki wrote in her Medium article, quote, "It had vibes of either starting over or committing suicide, and it included a list of things that she had left behind for people." Weird. Side note here, they never found any of the items on the list that she had left behind. The email was never finished, never sent, and the way it was written seemed as if it had been rushed, end quote. So
weird.
Was it a suicide note, or was it her way of conveying that she had this desire to start over?
Right.
Her car was found left in the airport garage. And it seemed that she had taken very little with her besides $800, her Nintendo, and her laptop. Sky was not fluent in Japanese. She had taken it for a few years. But she had taken, like we said, this flight to a more, not remote, but like less densely populated, less metropolitan part of Japan. I think if you're listening to this and you remember back when they were talking about, do you remember when like a YouTuber made this horrible video of like him in the Japanese forest where people often go to kill themselves?
Yes.
That is called the Aokigahara Forest. That was a very tone deaf video. I'm not even going to mention who made that video. Very disturbing. But a lot of people are thinking, oh, like, did she go to unalive herself in this Aokigahara Forest? And it's... it's right near Tokyo, so it's 20 hours away. So she wasn't in that area, so she didn't go there.
Right.
Or at least there's really slim possibility she went there. So with no answers about what happened and, you know, obviously growing alarm, Megan and her mom go to Japan themselves. And because Sky was 21, it was hard to get help from Japanese officials or even the U.S. ambassador because they're like, she's an adult, right? And Megan and her mom tried handing out flyers. On her TikTok, you can actually see what the flyers looked like, but it wasn't very successful because there is a language barrier and people are more resistant, I think, to like accept a random flyer on the street. So in the Medium article, Nikki wrote, quote, Sky was last seen outside of an inn in Noboritsu, I'm so sorry if I butchered that, which is in southern Hokkaido. She had checked into the inn on April 7th, so that's 6 days after she was last seen. Just over 1 week after arriving in Japan, the person who spotted her reported that she appeared to be in good spirits and mentioned that she planned to travel to Sapporo, which is close by to Hokkaido.
Okay.
End quote. So Sky didn't have a credit card. So after her $800 ran out, $800 what was she going to do?
Not a lot of money.
And it wouldn't go, like, there are some places that you can take $800. And maybe if you went to, like, the rural part of Nepal, right? Like, sure. I've been in that area, and you can live on $5 a day.
Right. But so that could last a long time.
But not, I don't think in Japan you can use $800 is not going to last you a long time.
No.
So did she make it to Sapporo? And also another question some people were wondering is, like, did she go to see the cherry blossoms? But they wouldn't have happened until the end of April, early May. So was she waiting to see them before she decided to either start over, or hopefully not, but maybe she took her life after seeing that. But it's strange that she's there and she's still traveling around. So I think kind of the questions that everyone has is, did she have help once she arrived in Japan? Did she meet someone? Was there foul play? There's no more answers than what exists out there today. And obviously, it would be absolutely devastating if she took her life in Japan. But it almost seems less likely when you hear that she was traveling around for a week afterward.
Yeah. And if it sounds like she was, like, in good spirits, like, excited to be doing things.
If you wanted to start over your life, I think if you really tried hard enough and you didn't have, like, if she, Megan was saying, she didn't have a lot of friends, she didn't have a lot of connections,
right,
and she didn't have a cell phone, like, maybe she was anonymous enough that she could start over.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a story of the disappearance of Sky Lynn Budnick. But Megan continues to share her sister's story on TikTok. I strongly urge you to follow her because she has a really wonderful personality and she really goes into depth about what happened with her sister and the relationship they had. And I really hope that she can find some answers because, you know, we don't have a huge audience, but we do have some listeners from Japan. So, like, you know, maybe they know someone.
Absolutely.
Knows
someone,
you never know.
Maybe she exists there and is
starting.
Who knows?
So, very ominous case, right?
That is very interesting. Very ominous.
I just really hope the family gets answers. And it's just so sad that if she, you know, if she is gone, like, why has she not been found? That's
right.
Kind of interesting to me. But if she did start over her life, you know, understanding why, what drove her to do that. So there's no more answers, unfortunately. I know, but I feel like it's one of those cases that you keep thinking about and thinking about.
Yeah, definitely.
But definitely take the time to go follow Megan on TikTok, follow her, listen to her podcast. She's a great speaker. And we wanted to end the year with a case that I think... Well, I mean, it touched me when I heard about it, and I'm sure Connor is touched by it too, but we wanted to kind of end the year talking about a case where there's
still hope
that it can be solved.
Yeah.
And I think there's a good chance that it can, especially with TikTok in this day and age. So until then, we will, like I said, be releasing a Q&A episode next week, and then we will be back to start January off with
a bang.
We have an announcement for next week, so you'll have to stay tuned. But until then, bye guys.
Bye guys.